Does it do that weird like robot voice? What's that?
No.
The meeting is now being recorded. Does it do that?
No.
Oh, there's always terrifying. That's good. But, Lesya! Lesya
yes.
Feinstein.
Yes.
It's been a long time coming.
It has. I thought that you had given up on me, but but we're here now.
I think what happened was the week that we were going to record, there was like another guest. No, that was the COVID week. That's when my roommate got COVID.
Yeah, that is when you got COVID. But I mean, if somebody else cooler came up, like I totally get it.
Well, I don't know. You're a busy person. All right. Shoot. Like you got stuff to do. You're like working like crazy. You're doing assignment desk. Are you done with assignment desk?
No, I'm doing assignment desk up until like right up before I move. So my last day of assignment desk is December 27th.
Oh, geez. Wait, you're going to do Christmas?
Yeah.
You wild. Is that like are you doing all day? Or are you doing like what shift?
I don't know yet. Like, I think that I'll figure that out once we're closer to the day because they kind of plan things very like
week by week.
And so we will see. But I just like, it's just me and my mom at home. And like, I don't do like the big like family holiday extravaganza things. Like Thanksgiving was just my mom and I. And so it's like, I'm like, if me working for somebody at the assignment desk means that they get to like help watch their kid open presents or like be with their wife, then like I'm gonna do that, you know?
Yeah, dang, that's a homie move though. Shoot, are you like, wait, so do you guys still do Christmas? Like you go hard, like you have like the whole setup or like?
Yeah, like we decorate and like open presents and do the whole thing, but it's just usually just my mom and I. And so like,
is your sister not in Utah? Is she?
I have two older sisters, and they've just, like, they've always just kind of done their, like, my sister who's in the middle will usually come over for Christmas Eve, and we'll do, like, a dinner with her and her little kiddos, but my oldest sister lives in Texas right now, and so she's not around, but yeah, so since it's usually just her and I, like, that if I need to work, like the presents can wait until I'm done or whatever, you know, like it's not like we have a whole family that's like waiting on me. So
dang, still, that's a lot of hustle. But yeah, so we met in newscast.
We met in newscast. Well, I mean, I feel like I met you last semester because you gave me pictures for a story I was working on.
That's true.
Yeah, because it was like I was working on a story about avalanche safety. And you gave me a bunch of snowmobiling footage. That was you, right?
That's 0% true. That's not true at all.
It's 1,000%. It's 1,000% true. I know it was you. It had to have been me.
I've never had snowmobiling footage in my entire life. I don't
know. No, I swear it was you. I swear.
Was it Sam? That's something like a Sam.
No.
That's so funny. You don't even know. You don't even remember.
No, I swear. Like, I have it. Like,
okay, anyways. I actually remember this. The first time I met you is because I came and helped with the newscast one day.
Oh, did you?
And I did prompter.
Was this last semester?
And you, like, roasted me on prompter.
And did I really?
Yeah, you were like, hey, can we roll it faster? Or, like, something like that. And so then, like, I was like, oh, freak. So I, like, hustled way hard. I, like, came in, like, am I rolling it fast enough now? And you guys were like, yeah, no, it's fine. Like, it's whatever. And I was, like, totally overreacting to it.
So I wasn't roasting you. I was just overall just being micromanaging like I always am.
I thought you were going to say critiquing my prompter skills, which would have been accurate as well. But, yeah, sure.
But you know what it's like. Now you know what it's like to have somebody who doesn't know what they're doing on prompter, and it's frustrating.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I'm glad I got there early, too, because I was, like, practicing like crazy. And then I actually caught I was, like, looking at it. I was trying to figure out, like, what the whole script meant because, like, it was all so foreign to me. And, you know, I had a standard out cue at the end
of
stories. But Adam was doing a live shot. And so then I was, like, I was looking at it and I, like, asked, I think it was Champagne. I'm, like, hey, this story has, like, a standard out cue, but then it's going back to him. Is that, like, how that's supposed to go? And then Adam was, like, in the room and they were, like, oh, no, you got to go edit that out and re-export it. And, like, Adam, like, scampered out and, like, went and did it. And I was, like, oh, my gosh.
Adam. Always screwing things up left and right.
Freaking Adam.
Freaking Adam. Just kidding. Love him.
He did a great Frankenstein impression. What was it in the Halloween cast rendezvous?
Oh, he was one of the members of the Addams family. I think it was the butler or something, the one who wears the eyeliner.
The one who wears the eyeliner, that's how you remember it.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, he's great, though.
So I was going to ask you what your first impression of was of me, but clearly it didn't really land.
No. So bad. I think I would say that my first impression was when I was practically rewriting your Evergreen story about so Josh did a story, Josh here, did a story about the Spectrum and how they're like adapting into COVID-19, right? That was your first one?
It was a real story, not Evergreen.
This is like before we had established that we were good pals and that I meant well. And I was going over your story and like reading your script because Champagne, our professor, was busy. And
I remember this now.
I turned around and I said, "Did you take 3200?" Which is our like writing prerequisite class that you have to take before you get into our news program.
Just annihilated me. Just wherever I was standing just destroyed me.
I'm like, hindsight, that probably wasn't the most like constructive thing to say, but look how far you've come.
Hey, I just stopped having opinions or saying nice things. I was like, yeah. It was all like, oh, let's try to make this like a nice spin on it. It was like, nope. And which is actually, it's been really good. And it was actually really interesting, the like objectivity thing going into like election season.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh, you guys are like, everybody's stupid. Like everybody. I'm like, I don't think you understand. Like none of this is like news. It's just like people's opinions left and right. It was like, oh, like I think this and I think this. I'm like, but this is, where's the fact? Like, I don't care about what you think. I'm just trying to figure out what the fact is. And it's actually really good for that. And but yeah, I remember that.
That's what's hard is, a lot of the times, and like especially where we were at with that election, where there was a lot we didn't know still because of the whole mail-in ballot thing. It was basically a lot of just like getting opinions from political experts, which are just opinions, and so it can be kind of hard when there's a lot you don't know, and that's kind of how it has to go sometimes.
Yeah, that election was super tight. I mean, it closed out in like pretty, I mean, Biden won by such a substantial margin, like he won, but it was so tight up until the end.
It was a nail biter for sure.
So wait, are you from Utah? I don't actually know this. I feel like I've like, it's come up, but I don't, what part of Utah are you? Like, are you a proud Utahan? Are you like a?
Yeah. Yeah. So I am from Utah. I was born and raised here in Centerville. Do you know where Centerville is?
Well, it's in the center of Utah, right? It has to be.
Otherwise, I don't necessarily think.
I know where it is. I actually do know where it is because it is the best food exit. Probably all of Utah. It's got a Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, In-N-Out within like 100 feet of each other. And then there's like across the street, I think there's like a Taco Bell, a Wendy's. It's like.
Yeah, you've got it. We've got a Carl's Jr. We've got a Jimmy John's. We're stacked over here.
Fast food stacked. Logan and Centerville.
So yeah, I was born and raised here, and I've never, like, my parents moved into this house that I'm in when I was 1 year old, and I haven't moved. I haven't moved since. So I still live in my childhood home.
Oh, wow. So where did your parents are from? Russia?
Yes.
Both they parents.
Are. Yeah. So my mom is originally from Siberia and my dad's from Moscow. And then my mom moved to Moscow when she was 16 and met my dad there. And then they got married and had my two older sisters. And then they moved to the States in 1992. Oh, geez. And And yeah, my oldest sister was like 12 years old, and my sister who's in the middle was like 2. And then I was born here in Utah in 98. So,
jeez. So wait, so much, so like so many questions. First, how did they get to Utah? Why was Utah like the decision?
Yeah, so basically there was a church basketball team here in Centerville, and they were in this traveling league, and once their church ball season was over, because they were like, they dominated this whole church ball season and were like, yeah, we're really good, we should keep competing. So they decided to do this traveling league, and they one of the places they went was Russia, and my dad was a teacher at a school in Russia. And so then after this tournament, a couple of the kids decided to go back to that school on foreign exchange after, because the tournaments, the traveling basketball tournaments were held at this school where my dad taught.
Yeah.
And a couple of the kids decided to go back on foreign exchange to the school where my dad taught. And then towards the end of their stay, one of them, like, they became like really good pals with my dad. And one of them to my dad was like, hey, you need to come to Utah because this isn't a place you should be raising your family. Russia is a scary place. If you like, you need to come to Utah because Utah's the place for families. And at first, obviously, my dad was like, no, like, I live here. Like, this is my home. I'm not going to like up and move across the world, you know? And then, so then literally like weeks later, like not soon after, so my parents lived in an apartment building at the time, and there was like an apartment wide, like shootout robbery, like while my family was on a walk, and they like came home to like their whole entire apartment, like robbed, and like they had just missed it. And my dad was like, that's it. We're leaving. We're out of here.
Jeez.
And so then they stayed in like the family's house of that kid, and they were in that house for like 8 months until they like got on their feet. So it was like my dad's English was really good, so he started selling cars for Jerry Seiner, and my mom started cleaning houses, and then they like slowly got enough for their own apartment, and then they slowly got enough for a house in Fruit Heights by Kaysville, and then I was born, and then a year later they found our now house, and they came here to Utah with 2 kids, 1 suitcase, and $50.
Jeez, holy crap. That's the story. It's like
that's the dream. The story. Yeah.
Holy cows. Wait, so there was a shootout? There's a
yeah.
Armed robbery?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think I'd probably have to ask my mom again exactly what had happened, because I haven't heard that story exactly in a while, but I'm like 90% sure that their whole entire apartment building got robbed, and like they were like holding these residents of this apartment at gunpoint. And so,
holy crap, it's like, there's so many levels to the story. It's like, yeah, so it started like you went back to Utah and you're like, let's talk about church ball. I'm like, I don't even understand. Like, why are we talking about church basketball?
Yeah.
Then they went to Russia. I'm like, well, okay, like that's one level of crazy. And then it's like, then they went on foreign exchange to Russia and met my teacher dad. And then, like, my apartment got held up at gunpoint. Like, what? Like, it just kept on. Like, it just went up to itself. Is it went along?
It's the story that keeps on giving, really.
Seriously. So, like, wow. So, your dad knew English before coming to the States?
Yeah, because being a teacher, he, like, I think it was, like, part of what he had to do was, like, know English and stuff like that. And, yeah, his English was really good, so.
Dang. But so did your siblings speak Russian when they came, or did they know English, too, through your dad, or, like?
Yeah. My oldest sister kind of like was already knowing both, because kind of like how we do in the States, they teach foreign language in Russia, and a lot of the times they have you learn English, whereas here it's really common for us to learn Spanish.
Yeah.
They make them learn English there. So yeah.
That's so nuts. And then, so you come to Utah. Was your family religious already? Because I mean, like, Utah, like, religion powerhouse, not religious at all.
Well, no, I grew up Russian Orthodox. So yeah, I kind of grew up around that. We would like go to, I remember like we would go to church like occasionally.
Russian Orthodox being like, I don't know what that means. Is that like Russian Orthodox?
It's like, I don't know how to like.
Is it like a branch of something, or is it like its own thing, or is it like?
It's like an Eastern, it's like a Eastern form of like Christianity, and so they share a lot of the same beliefs as like the Christian church, like with the crucifixion and the resurrection, but like the way they live their lives are obviously like different, and yeah, like the whole like church service is different. Like they do the whole like bread and wine thing, and like you stand and they do the like the music where they like do like the kind of like the chanting singing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, but like I think I do. I'm just kind of, I'm playing along.
Yeah, and it's like the priest who runs, like conducts the service is in like full, like one of those like really tall hats with like the full decked out robe with like the intricate like gold and everything detailing, and he's mm-hmm. like walking around like saging like the building and like, wow. Yeah. So I kind of grew up doing that. My dad's side of the family's Jewish, and so that's why Feinstein, that's where Feinstein comes from. But yeah, we grew up doing that and going to church doing that, and yeah, that's kind of where. But when my parents moved into that house with that kid's family, they were like, you know what, like we live under your house and we want to be respectful of what you do, so we're gonna go to church with you guys. So they would go to church every Sunday, like LDS church with this family. And so they kind of,
so they were familiar with the church, but they didn't really, that your parents never converted?
No.
Yeah. And then I didn't mean to like jump into this, I guess, so abruptly, but so your father passed away a while ago, right?
Yeah, I was in sixth grade.
Jeez.
So yeah, he was mainly like the religious one of the household. Like he was definitely the one that was like doing the whole, like he always wore like a really big cross, and he was very like always going to church and like active in like his church community. And he would go pretty often. And so yeah, but then, like, when he passed away, we just didn't really, like, go anymore. And we just kind of, I don't know, like, we'd go occasionally.
Right.
And my mom would, like, take me occasionally. But, like, I don't know. It just kind of didn't really, wasn't really, like, a thing we did a lot anymore. But, yeah.
Dang. Dang, so wow, you've had like quite the story. You have like the craziest background ever. It's like the Russian American church ball dream. And then, so did he get sick, or how did it go? Is it something? No,
he just randomly had a heart attack.
No way.
He was 50.
He was 50?
He was 50 years old. Yeah, he was like a really, really big guy, like really tall and just like a big dude.
Yeah.
And he this is like not confirmed at all, because like the doctors basically were like, yeah, I don't know, he just like his heart just gave out, so they don't have any like distinct answers, but this is just kind of like how what we've told ourselves to like make sense of it is like he was a really big dude and he spent a lot of his life like trying to lose weight. And he's kind of like me in the sense where he was very like all or nothing, and so he like wasn't eating as much as he should have, and he was working out really really hard and like doing these like boot camp classes where they would like make you put like a weighted vest on and like run up hills, and it's like the most Russian thing ever, but we have a sauna in our house, like a wooden sauna. That's in our basement. Yeah, like Russian people love saunas.
I had no idea that Russian people, I mean, it makes sense, like, if you think about how freaking cold it is in Russia, but.
Yeah, Russian people love saunas, and so we have one built in our basement, and he would literally, like, use it, like, every single night after, like, working out super hard and, like, not eating enough, and so, like, we just kind of think that, like, because his body, like, he was just such a big dude that, like, his heart couldn't, like, keep up with it, you know? And so yeah, it was just, like, a super, super random, like, he went down for a nap because he was just like, yeah, I'm, like, not really feeling too good. And then he just, like, in his sleep.
Dang, that's super sad.
Yeah, it was kind of definitely, like, taught me a lot, forced me to grow up pretty quickly. Both my sisters were kind of already, like, moved out at that point or almost moved out. And so it was kind of, like, me and my mom. And so it kind of... I definitely had to like step up, and that's when I started writing all of her emails because my mom's English isn't very good.
Yeah.
So age 11, I'm like, dear, da da da, best, da da da. And so.
Very professional.
Yeah. So I don't know. It definitely like taught me a lot. I wouldn't be who I am if it didn't happen, but it's hard.
Yeah, but now you're like a great writer. You're going. So you're gonna be. A multimedia journalist. You signed the papers?
I signed the papers. The
papers are signed.
Wheels up to Indiana, baby.
You're doing it. Are you nervous? Are you hyped?
I'm really, really, really excited. It definitely feels a little overwhelming because, I'm moving across the country. it's like a 20-hour drive, which is crazy because
you have to take your car.
Yeah, and I've never lived out of Utah before. And that's not really the part of it that really like freaks me out because like I'm really outgoing, I'm good at making friends, I'm good at like connecting with people, and so like the whole like being out there by myself isn't what's like feeling overwhelming to me. I think it's just like first of all moving in, because you know how it's pretty common here in Utah to find like a furnished place, like you can like
more than usual, I bet, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, I was kind of under the impression that I'd be able to find, like, a place to like, worry about, like, lugging a U-Haul all the way over there, because, like, my plan is just to fit everything in my Kia, and and then, like, so my mom can just fly home, because I don't want to make her... Because if we take separate cars, I don't want to make her drive back the 20 hours by herself. And well, so...
You can check in U-Hauls in other places, right? Is that a thing?
I don't know. Yeah, but I just, like, don't really want to pay for it. And so... So the plan is I am just going to... But basically, the whole thing is that furnished apartments there, like, don't exist, pretty much. And so I ended up having to get, obviously, an unfurnished one, which is fine, because... Cost of living there is so obscenely inexpensive. It's like crazy. Like, I got a one bedroom.
Cheaper than Utah?
Cheaper than Logan.
No.
Yes, I am getting a one bedroom apartment. Like, one bedroom, one bath, full kitchen, like living room, washer, dryer, heating, plumbing, air, like all of that for like $635 a month.
What?
Yeah, it's like insanity. Like, I'm telling you, like, move to the Midwest if you like want to save your money.
Straight up.
So
go broke, yeah. Go to California. You want to get rich, go to the Midwest.
No, seriously. And so basically, I'm rambling, but What my mom decided the plan was going to be is I'm going to take all of, like, my clothes and, like, all of, like, my kitchen stuff and, like, all of, like, my base stuff that I need in my car there, and then we're going to get there and then buy, like, a bed, a coffee table, a couch. But my station is giving me, like, a moving down, like, stipend, and so I'm gonna try the best I can to fit all of my, like, furniture things that I need to buy in that money.
Stipend, yeah.
Because I'm, like, not picky at all, and, like, I don't really need anything fancy or crazy, so.
Are we getting a queen-size bed, though? That's real talking. Are we going king? Are we California king?
Here's the thing. I want to get a full just because it's just me, obviously, and I feel like, I mean, I guess, like, I could change my mind when I see the room. Like, if the bedroom's huge, then maybe a queen. But I already have bedding and stuff for a full bed. And I feel like a lot of the times in, like, a small room, if you put too big of a bed, it just makes the room cramped.
It makes the room seem hilarious. I remember there was, like, I saw this apartment once and it had a king-size bed. And literally, I think there was, like, a foot and a half off the walls. It was like, it was hilarious. It was like, I'm like literally like, skirt,
skirt, yeah, skirt. Yeah, like I don't want that, just to have a big bed, because like I have a full here at home and I enjoy it. It's fine, it's perfect for me. So I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, so I'm, what's over, coming back to the point of why I'm rambling about this is I am a little bit overwhelmed at, like, and like my mom's gonna be there to help me, but like buying all of it, making sure I get everything I need. And then, like,
that, well, you're gonna be on your own. I mean, like, as soon as your mom leaves, like, it's like you and Indiana and your station, but like, you don't know anybody. It's not like that's the fun thing about newscasts is, like, you know people in Logan, you know things that are going on. So, like, stories, yeah, are easier, but like, that's gonna be a whole new thing for you.
Yeah. And then, like, the whole learning curve of the job is, like, a whole thing. But I've been in touch with a lot of the people at my station, and they just seem like super awesome people. And, like, a lot of the people who are doing my same position are, like, around my age. And, like, it's their first station out of school, too. Yeah. And so, yeah, like, I just think I'll be in good company. And they all just seem, like, really, really fun. And, yeah.
Do you work 6 days a week?
I think that I will probably, to be honest, I don't really know. I think I'll work 5 days a week.
But it's not like it's not a Monday through Friday necessarily.
I honestly don't know yet.
Dang, that's so nuts. But like, so you have to make a story a day that you work.
So I asked this, and usually they say what happens is like, come in and then you'll turn a story for like the earlier shows, which is usually like a BOSAW about something, which is just like a quick little like overview of something. And then you'll either, depending on how big your hit was at like in the earlier shows, you'll either spin that and turn it into a whole package, or you'll find a new package to do for the later show.
Oh, that's terrible. That's crazy.
So I'm looking at a BOSAW in a package a day.
I was going to say terrible. It's not terrible necessarily, because like BOSAW, that just means like an interview plus some B-roll of like something.
Yeah. Going on.
So like,
yeah,
that's not super intense. A BOSAW, like, you could pull off, but then like not knowing. So like, when do they find out? Like, when will they tell you? Like, just midday? They're like, hey, we actually want that as a pack, or like.
So they actually have morning meetings on Zoom, and their morning meetings at like 9:30 a.m. I've actually sat in on a couple of them, which has been cool.
Or didn't you have to critique somebody or something?
I think he was kidding about that, thankfully, because
that would be terrible.
My news director was like, yeah, since you've worked on the assignment desk, like, everybody's gonna pitch their stories to you. And I'm like, absolutely not. I'm not trying to be villainized. But yeah, it was cool to see how everybody like pitches their stories, and like everybody's just kind of chatting and all that. And so it was cool to see that. But yeah, anyways, at like 9 a.m. they'll go onto this call and be like, hey, this is what's going on today. Like, do you guys have, like, ideas of what you want to do? And, like, you're on this, you're on this, you're on this type thing. And so it's not like you just are blind until your shift starts, you know?
That's super nice. Are you – so, like, we both came from the journalism broadcast emphasis program. I am not – is driven to be like a full-on multimedia journalist. Producing is interesting to me, as well as like just opportunities from video are way interesting to me. But like, you're doing it. You're gonna be a journalist. You're like gonna do all the, like, you're gonna dig in, you're gonna do all the stuff, you're gonna have stories. Mm-hmm. But like, what is there something specifically that drives you to be a journalist? Is there like, or do you just love it? Is it something about, like, it can be very like idealistic, and the idea that like you can like help make an impact. Like, what drives you to be a journalist? Why did you choose this? Why do you love it so much?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the few female reporters that I feel like I'm different in the sense I haven't wanted to do this since I was 4 years old. Like, I feel like any female reporter you meet or hear about, you're just like, they're like, yeah, like, I used to just sit and watch the Today Show when I was 3 and pretend like I was a reporter. Like, I wanted to do this since day one. And I wasn't like that. Like, I didn't even know this is what I wanted to do until I thought I wanted to major in PR. Like, I started in PR and had to take news writing as a prerequisite and fell in love with it. And then
you started in PR and went to broadcast. You hero.
Yeah. And so my news writing professor was like, listen, you need to go do, because I was thinking about maybe doing print because I'm a writer. I like to write. Yeah. And my news writing professor, who's like a print guy, was like, no, broadcast, go. And I was like, okay. And I just like blindly trusted him. And I just like told. Yeah. And I just like.
That guy's to this day.
Yeah, he's the real deal. But I totally just blindly trusted him. And the next semester I was in 3200 writing for electronic media. And so, and I just like really fell in love with it. And I think that what I just kind of fell into it, and it was just so perfect for me in so many ways, because it just like highlights everything that I'm strong at. It's so like, I love people. I love talking to people. I love connecting with people. Like, I kind of have this, like, I've always had this thing where I'm, people are just feel like they can just, like, open up to me and, like, tell me anything. Like,
sure.
I've had, like, strangers just completely tell me their whole life story because I just kind of, like, can get that out of people. Which, the way that I'm wording it makes it sound like it's super, like, manipulative. I swear it's not. I swear I'm no villain. But yeah, I just kind of have this, I have this ability to, like, get people to open up. And I love like the storytelling aspect of it, and I love writing, and like the whole like on camera stuff is just fun. It's just like an added thing for me because I enjoy that. I think it's fun. But what I've really fallen in love with about being a reporter and studying this and like this job is like, there are so many different things happening and like so many different like people in your community and like so many different businesses and so many different voices. And it's your job as a reporter to tell like viewers and the public, like why A matters, why B matters, why C matters. And it's like your job to tell people what they need to know. And it's your job to tell people like what to avoid, what to buy, where they can take their families, where like what businesses have it figured out, what businesses don't. And it's just kind of like, it's really cool to be like a voice for the voiceless.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I've really have loved it. So
yeah, it's definitely, it's even in just like the little quote-unquote reporting I guess that I've done just here in Logan, like it is cool getting to know new things. You get to know new people, you get to like see new things, and
you get to be an expert on something different every day.
Yeah, like one day it's RC cars, and the other day it's like something else. Like the stories that I've done, I did trash car. I guess I'm all over the cars these days, but like a trash car is like literally a bunch of people who like self-identify are quick to admit that they're rednecks and hicks, and they're like, oh yeah, we just like take these like barely functioning cars and then we drive them in the mud and crash into each other. And it was seriously like I was shooting it, but I was enjoying it. It was like the most fun. It was like so fun and like,
yeah,
it's really cool in that way.
I learned about like from epidemiologists about like why mask wearing is important. I've learned how a quilt shop that was literally about to like close its doors, how they used Zoom and like online classes to save their business during a pandemic. Like I've learned how like these are just like examples of like things I've covered, but yeah, I've learned how the process of drive-through testing for lots of different things have been happening and how people have felt about that. And you just get to be an expert on something every day.
Something new. That's definitely a ton of fun. I remember, so I don't want to name names here, but so I remember it was how many days ago? Not days, but a couple of weeks ago, you had gone on a date, and on this date, there were some misconceptions about the quote unquote media and right. the influence of the media. Do you wanna take me through that a little bit, and then I guess we'll get into that after. But just tell me about this date a little bit, because I think the story is hilarious and a good representation of the nonsense.
You know, we don't need to give him really any airtime because he doesn't deserve it. But basically the whole like thesis of what happened was, it was just kind of like, hey, are you sure that's what you wanted? Like, oh, you're majoring in journalism. Is that sure what you want to do? Don't you think that the media is like the problem? Don't you think that the media is what's causing all of like the panic? Don't you think like the media, like, isn't the media part of the issue? And I was just like,
so like setting the scene, this is like his first date, right?
Yeah.
And so did you know him previously, or did you get set up, or like?
Yeah, I knew him previously, but
so you know this guy previously. He eventually gets the nerve to ask you out.
It was a group thing, so.
Okay, group thing. Sorry. Let me just, I'll downgrade it a little bit. My bad.
Oh, no. But I'm saying, like, it wasn't like a, like, here, like, let me take you out. Like, it was like a group. So it was like a little, it was just like a little bit more casual,
date.
I'd say.
Group date, though.
But anyways, so.
And he's going on a date with a journalism major who's graduating, like, months, like, 2 months after this date, is graduating with her degree. In this field, it is now questioning your entire field. Is that my misunderstanding this?
Yeah, I mean, like, in hindsight, like, I guess I could have been a little bit more like understanding, because like, if you don't know what we do, you don't know.
Right.
And if all your parents have in the house is like Fox News or CNN, like you, like it's not your fault. You know, and so yeah, I don't know. Basically, like, I'm sure what you're asking is like how I feel about the whole the media is the problem.
Stupid. Well, so what I'm curious about is, it's funny, like you say all this. I don't think that there's like, I don't think the media isn't the problem, but like, could you explain a little bit? I think you understand this even better than I do. Like, what the difference is between what, when you say like blanket statements like the media versus like, what actually is the problem? I feel like there is a problem, but it's more on a national level than it is on a local level. Is my understanding that right? Or I guess you want to explain it better to me?
The way that I see it is, the reason why people consider the media as the problem is because they put all media under one umbrella when it isn't all under one umbrella.
Right.
We have the umbrella of our, like, national correspondents, which is, like, your Fox News, your CNN, your CBS, your this, your that. And those really, really big outlets, like, they just kind of can spin what they want because they're so big and like they have so much money and like their only like motive is to make more money, and so like they can kind of spin whatever narrative they want because they know that like their viewer base that they built will just listen to whatever they say.
Right.
And so that's not to say worst case
they lawyer up because they have the money to lawyer up.
And that's not to say that like there isn't good journalism that exists there. Like there are some national reporters that like do incredible work, and like with the resources that they have, they're able to like shed light on some really cool and interesting things. Like I don't want to say that like all national, like Fox News is the enemy, CNN is the enemy, because I don't feel that way, but you can't classify those as the same thing as like your local news, like here like KUTV and KSL and ABC4 and Fox 13. Those can in no way be under the same umbrella as right. your Fox News and CNN, because
well, right. And even funnier is like then like social media gets looped under there, right? So then it's like social media, and then it's like TV, and then it's like there's like all these different places where it's like all these opinions are being fired, but like that's not like a condemnation on all journalism or all journalists per se.
That's like, the thing. That's the thing.
Local journalists are way more accountable because like, you know, they don't have money to lawyer up. They don't have money to like they have, it's way more focused on being factual than it is about having the loudest opinion.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's just like the thing about local news is like, cause I work at an assignment desk, which is like the news gathering portion of the newsroom. And like, I see what all has to happen before any story can either go on air or go online. And it has to be confirmed by an official. Like, even if all the other outlets, our other local outlets are posting about something, if we haven't heard back and we haven't had that confirmed, we can't just take that information. We have to get it confirmed ourselves. And so...
Well, you should. But so this is where I think Twitter news gets really interesting, because now it's like sources say, or like this news via other news station. And it's like this weird thing where it's like, you can't just like you're just high, like, especially if that news ends up being not all the way true, which is usually the case. It's rare that like the news that gets leaked is like completely false information. Usually it's like, oh, like part of that was true, but part of that wasn't. And so, but like, all these news sources will then say like, oh, well, they leaked it first, or they got it first, so now we're all just going to like forward it from that news source. And that's where like the problems start, right? Because like they're not getting their own sources. They're just like pushing it on so that they can stay on the train.
Yeah. So it's definitely a lot of like, I think a lot of what has ruined journalism is the whole like numbers game of being number one. Because people like to be first before they want to be factual. And so, like, Right. There's a lot of, like, okay, like, hurry, 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 get this out. Oh, well, like, so-and-so and so-and-so has this and this and this. And, like, they're leading with this, so we need to do it too. And because we need to be number one instead of, like, focusing on what actually matters and, like, what really needs to be told. But it's just kind of the way it is. But the thing about social media is, and, like, as it pertains to journalism, is it comes back to like something that a lot of people will say is, oh yeah, I love journalism. It's the only profession that's protected by the Constitution because we have our First Amendment right of free speech, right? And which is true, but the thing about it is
goofy.
That's the thing about it is that, yeah, your speech is protected, but that means that so is Joe Schmo on the corner who doesn't know anything. So
Right. Joe
Schmo can post anything on his Facebook wall and call it journalism because there's nothing that anyone can do or say to stop you from like, calling yourself a journalist, because there's no like certification you have to have. You can just call yourself one. And so that's why these echo chambers of like following only people that you agree with start, and then you're only having this like certain information, and like why so much misinformation is spread is because anyone can put anything out there, and people don't do the work of fact checking and understanding if it's true or real. They just see it, and if it agrees with their narrative that they've built, they're going to share it, even if it's not true, which is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, 100%. I'm taking media law right now. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that it's the professor's Tom Terry. Did he go by Tom? Thomas?
Anyway. Love Tom Terry.
Big fan. But one of the things he says that he said early on that was really interesting to me is he's like, you don't have a special amount of rights as a journalist. It's not like you have like your specific corner of rights. It's like, no. You have exactly the same amount of rights as every other citizen does. And it's just a matter of like using those rights that you do have to like uncover those stories or uncover those things. And so it's true that like anybody just becomes their own quote unquote journalist because they said something or because they decided something. And it's interesting. So
people get really upset because they're like, oh, well, it's your job as journalism, as the news, to like get the right answer and get the truth and get this and get that, which is true. But it also, people need to take accountability and responsibility to make sure that like they have their media literate caps on when they're looking through all this BS that's online, you know, because like, because it's a lot, and it's a lot, especially now, like with this year, like there's so much out there, and it's you saying that it's just everybody else's responsibility is super ignorant.
Yeah. Oh, it's the journalist's responsibility to make sure that I look at the right thing. It's like, well, okay, right. If you look at that tweet and decide that it's fact, that's on you. That's not on anybody.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. There's a lot of things that I think get like blamed on the quote unquote Trump era or like the quote unquote Trump administration. But that I think is for sure, which is like the loudest voice in the room has suddenly become like the factual voice. Whereas like, that's just a lot, or like the loudest, the most retweeted tweet is like suddenly the most important tweet, yada, like et cetera, et cetera. Where it's like, no, like all these things need to be fact checked. All of these things like are probably close to the truth, but are probably like, you're probably spinning this exactly how you want it. You know what I mean? Like there's just a lot of that goes on. So not all news is fake news. Is that what you're saying?
Not all news is fake news.
Is there something like you wish that people knew about like journalists? I mean, you said that thing about the umbrella where it's like each media source is different. I feel like that's really important to understand. But like, is there anything else that you wish that people would understand? That fact-checking thing you said was pretty important.
Yeah. I do think that with like, especially lately, people think that like all journalists are trying to do is like make money and like be on TV and like just spin these like lies and for some sort of gain. Yeah. But something I wish people understood is that journalists make absolute shiz money. Journalists make so like literally like less than teachers, like so little money. And you need to understand that they don't do this job for such horrible pay for their health. They do it because they care about people and they care about their communities and they want people to be informed. Like, they're on your side. They are on your side. They want to help you. They want to be there for you and tell you what you need to know. Like, they are not the villain. They are not the enemy. They are out there risking right now their health, a lot of times their safety, in order for you to have the information that you need, because they care about you and they like they're on your side. And so I don't know, the whole like villainizing of like journalists to get some sort of gain, like it's such a hard job. Like it's seriously such a hard job. Like you work so much, you have crazy hours, not good pay. Like there are just like so many like negative things about it that like it doesn't make any logical sense to say that like somebody's just like doing it for their own gain, because like the circumstances are so not fun. Like
you have
to do it because you love it and you care.
Like I'm sure that there's some percentage of journalists that aren't in it for the right reasons. But I think, like you said, like it's just illogical for the majority of them not to be, right? Like, I mean, it's just such a
You just don't get, you don't get paid enough, and you don't have good enough circumstances to do it for any reason other than because you love it and you care.
Right. Exactly. Well said. Well said. This is a random question, but like, I just never know when this kind of stuff is going to land. But I threw this on here. Are you big into palm readings? Have you ever gotten your palm read before? I feel like this just felt like it was up your alley for some reason.
So I've never had my palm read. I would love to get my palm read. I think it's interesting. Is it something that I think I would live and breathe and die by? Probably not. But I think it's interesting. I'm really kind of into, like, all of my friends who know me know that I'm really into, like, zodiac things. Like
astrology.
Yes. Like, I'm not.
No way. I was like, so I think my last guest we were talking about this. Tell me about astrology.
Well, so I'm not somebody who, like, I'm not somebody who, like, reads my horoscope every single day or, like, anything like that. But I do think that, like, zodiac characteristics are very interesting. And I do think that, like, different zodiacs are more compatible than others.
You are completely ridiculous. What's your zodiac? What is the?
I'm a Scorpio.
A Scorpio.
What are you? Do you know?
You're gonna sting. I think April 3rd. It's Aries, right? I think.
Oh. Oh no! He's an Aries, everyone.
I'm an What is that supposed to mean?
It just means that you wake up every day and choose violence.
Oh, I choose violence every day.
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Are you? I'm not sure that you are. You're pretending like you're joking, but.
Let's make sure that this is right for sure.
Oh, so we're Googling Aries now.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Are you not Scorpio? I don't really believe that you're Scorpio anymore.
I'm a Scorpio.
So what is that? Is that like a November thing?
Yes, it is. So, Aries, let's see.
Oh, wait, because your birthday is November 3rd, right?
Yes.
That's my mom's birthday. Shouts to my mom.
Happy birthday, Josh's mom, on Election Day. Aries, as the first sign of the zodiac, Aries likes to be first in everything. A natural-born leader, fearless ram, is able to get things going in an instant and willing to try anything. Although this sign sometimes takes on more than can be accomplished. Aries people are extremely dynamic and energetic and have to constantly keep busy. They are also very charismatic with the ability to easily attract others with their personal magnetism.
Oh, baby. That's probably true.
So yeah.
Like half of that was true, but like, but that's the whole point of zodiacs is that like they just throw like a million things on one. Oh, one page to be like, wow, this is mostly me. It really is. I've never really cared about being first in anything. I don't know where, like what gene that is, but I don't have the competitive gene. Are you a first or are you a Ricky Bobby? Or if you ain't first or last, is that in your
name? I can be. It depends on what it is. If it's just like playing games, like board games or like, just like for fun, stuff like that. I do not care. I'm not competitive at all. But when it comes to like my career or like, I like dating, like love life, that type of thing, I can be very competitive and very jealous.
Love life?
What yeah. Like,
you're going to get competitive? How do you get?
Yeah. If you're
dating somebody, you're like all sketch or like, what does that mean?
No. Not like that.
Oh, I got the finger wag on that one. Sure.
No. Like, for example, if I like, I'm talking to somebody and like,
to somebody is my favorite term, by the way. It's anyway, keep going.
Oh, are you
I'm
just
making
are
out
you,
with somebody? Anyway, keep going. No, it's fine.
Are you a traditionalist that hates that type of stuff?
Oh no! I just speak English.
I hate it too. I hate it too. But it's just kind of how it is. When I'm in the stage of talking with someone, right? Like you're not official yet, but you're like
probably whatever. Made out like four times by then.
Sure, yeah. Sure. We'll see that. And like I hear that they are like talking to somebody else, or like I see that they like are hanging out with somebody else. Like I get really like competitive and like I
well,
am like
not like.
I get jealous. Like, I have jealous tendencies. So.
I guess, I don't know. I wouldn't call that competitive, but I guess I see what you're saying about how you would consider that competitive.
Or like, in my, like, it's mostly
just
the things
like
I.
Just trying to be normal. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of weird, the state brings a lot of weird dating culture things where it's like, just talk to as many people as you want when you want. Like, this is not how it goes. Like, if you like somebody, just stick with it. I don't know. I don't have that in my nature. I think it's weird when people are like playing the game.
But I'm also that way in my career too. Like subconsciously, like the people who have like gone through the program, my same program at school, like when I was choosing a job, like I was like, oh, like I want to place high, I like I want to place highest, like I want to beat everybody, and like da 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 da, and like,
well, he's pretty good at instilling that too.
Oh my gosh, he seriously, like, he loves to just like grind my gears and like
everybody's. That's good. Like, I think he's got. Have you seen Whiplash?
No.
Oh, you should.
Is it a movie?
Okay, so Whiplash is about like this abusive mentor who gets this like kid to be an amazing drummer, and like it's so accurate. I mean, okay, anyway.
He's not abusive.
He's not abusive. Like, it's not. It's definitely within the bounds of like what a mentor should be. Like, I've never felt like, yo, like you crossed the line. But like,
he's tough though.
But he's like, it's not like just kind of tough. It's like, we're gonna grind and grind you until you finally start like getting to the level you need to get.
Mediocrity is never an option.
Never. Oh my gosh. And it's good. Like, I've gotten exponentially better for it. I'm glad that he does it. There's a few times where I wish there was like maybe just 5% more mercy, but like, I guess whatever, that I can live without the 5%.
Oh yeah. He's ruthless,
but,
for sure.
But you should watch that movie. I think you wouldn't have as many champagne. You'd see it and you'd make fun of me for even comparing them. But anyway, so you were also a cheerleader. So
I was a cheerleader.
A journalist, cheerleader, Russian. You're not like what?
I'm a jack of all trades. Okay, I'm a jack of all
master
trades.
Of all of them though.
What, I'm a so makeup were artist.
Like, makeup artist. Were you a head cheerleader? Is there like, how does that go?
No, I wasn't, because I didn't do cheer my senior year. And when you are a senior, you become a captain. And I did it my sophomore and junior year, and I just like didn't want to do it anymore. Like, because I did also competitive cheerleading, like all growing up through like a cheerleading gym.
Yeah.
And so I had been doing that since I was little, and then like all throughout junior high. And then when I got into high school, I tried doing high school cheer. And so by the time I got to my senior year, I was just so burnt out and done. And yeah. I was like, I just want a senior year to do whatever I want. Like, I'm done with, because we had cheer as our first period on A days. And so did you guys have block, like AB scheduling for your school or no?
We did, yeah. We had like a, I don't remember if it was A or B or however that went, but there was like one day you went to one class.
Right. So on our A day, I was talking to some people recently who like didn't have that. Like Eric was saying that he didn't have that, which is weird. So that's why I asked. Because if you like don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I did half and half. So I had like my first high school, we did 6 periods.
No, oh, yeah.
45 minutes. And then I did my second school, it was 3 that were all 90 minutes. But uh-huh. The funny thing about the 90 minutes is that like it was still 45 minutes worth of class. There was just like whatever, half an hour before where it was like you were like doing the homework, and then half uh-huh. an hour after where you're doing the homework. But anyway.
Yeah. So anyways, I was just over it, and I just kind of wanted to do my own thing my senior year. So I did it my sophomore and junior year, and it was fun. Like, I made a lot of, like, my closest friends, who I'm still friends with today. But I just, I don't know. I just was over it and didn't want to do it anymore. But it was fun. I'm glad I did it.
What sport was the most fun that you're at?
There's nothing like a football game. Like, it's just fun. Because, like, the yeah, for sure. Like, but it was so fun. Like, cheering in the rain, just, like, so – it sounds like it's not fun, but it's so fun because it's just, like –
I mean, I guess you don't – you're not throwing people in high school, are you?
Yeah, you are.
You are? Well, then, okay. So how is that fun if you get dropped? I don't know. That just sounds sketchy.
Well, I mean, I'm not the one getting thrown, so I don't really care. But, but yeah. No, I really enjoyed basketball too, because like you get to be like right there, and like basketball is easier to watch and easier to follow, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I get more into it at football games, yeah.
But like, I think the football game is a lot of just like the environment, like the
yeah, Stadium Lights. Have you seen Friday Night Lights?
I've seen a little bit of it. I'm really bad at committing to shows.
Oh, the show's amazing. I haven't seen the movie. I think the movie's pretty good too, but the show
I didn't know that there was a movie.
Yeah. The movie's about, there's a book too, actually. I've read it. Wow, I read that book. I just remembered that. You know when you read a book and you forget?
Right. It's crazy. Anyway.
But yeah, there's like an actual story that it's based off of. Mm-hmm. So the movie's the real version, and then the show is just like kind of a fictionalized version. But real quick, you got to rank hockey, tennis, and soccer 1 to 3. Where do they stack up?
Hockey, tennis, and soccer. I'm going to put hockey at number one.
Amen.
Because like they don't mess around. Like they are serious. Like that is, you'll knock your teeth out playing that game. And there was a guy I kind of like dated in high school and a little after that was a hockey player, and he was just really great. And so I'll say hockey. And then tennis and soccer. I'll put soccer second and tennis last.
Oof. Why soccer? Just because you don't like tennis?
I just think tennis is so boring. Like,
I feel that way about soccer. My favorite part is that people always
try. I don't love either of them, but
soccer educators are like bottom three people on the planet to me. Where they're like, no, soccer actually is the best sport on the planet.
No.
They play the whole. They do like the. Well, it's like the most popular in the world, so you just gotta like, you know, you have to have an appreciation for the world. And I'm like, I have an appreciation for entertainment, and soccer does not give me it. Okay, we did it. We made it to this part. Are you ready? Do you have a hot take? Are you ready to drop it?
I have a hot take.
Okay. Oh, she's got the
Here's my hot take, okay? I really, really, really hate when, like, how much people have pushed the whole narrative of, like, basic. Like, I don't, just because, like, liking something that's popular shouldn't warrant, like, the label of basic. Like, it's obviously popular for a reason. It's obviously well liked by a lot of people for a reason, and you shouldn't be ashamed for like liking something just because everyone else likes it, because obviously it's liked for a reason. Like, for example, like if you're like, you meet somebody and like you both have like a common music artist that you both enjoy, right? Okay. And this person is like, oh, like what's your favorite song of theirs? And you say it's like, or it's like, what's your favorite
songs?
Yeah, it's one of them. Like, or like, oh, what's your favorite song on their new album? Oh, well, it's this one. Like, it's their single. Da, 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 da. And it's like, oh, like that's so basic, because like, obviously you have to like the one that's like hidden in the deep depths of the album. Like, obviously they dropped their single as their single because it's their best song. So like, what is the problem with liking their single as the best song? And that's just like the tip of the iceberg. Like what's wrong with loving like Diet Coke in Utah? Like, what's wrong with loving Swig in Utah? Like, it's great. And what's wrong with like, I don't know, like there are just these stereotypes of like basic that have been built that have like, I feel like has made people shy away from things that they really enjoy, or admitting that they really enjoy, just because they think that they'll get heat for liking things that are basic. And I think it's dumb. If it's popular, it's popular for a reason.
This is a great hot take. You've come to the complete wrong source. I'm literally like, I'm the most contrarian hipster, like,
I know you are, and that's why I said it.
But like, I actually don't think you're wrong though, and I've definitely thought about this a lot recently. And I mean, like, there's certain things where I mean, I guess what I would be worried about is that you like something because other people like it.
I was about to say that. That was going to be my next point. It's, oh my gosh. Do you hear that?
What?
Oh, my phone is ringing and it was my mom. And when my mom calls, there's the notification, there's the ringtone of the, like, fire alarm sound.
Why did you
just because I really like when she calls, I really don't want to miss it. And so anyways, that's what I was gonna say next was, it's a difference if you are like liking something because you're like following the masses and like you feel like to fit in with a certain crowd you need to like everything like because they all like it. That's basic and that's the bad form of basic. But if you genuinely like it and you, like, are ashamed to say that you like it just because you feel like everyone says that they like it, then that's dumb. Well,
that's stupid.
And you shouldn't be called basic for liking something just because right. A lot of people like it.
No, I'm, like, I'm a big proponent at this. Wow, this is about to get super preachy. Just brace yourself. But so at Disneyland, they have, like, these weird statues, and I don't know what they mean, but there's one for individualism.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, like, I'm big on that. I'm big on, like, you should be your own person. You should like what you like. You shouldn't, you should think what you think. And it shouldn't ever be because of somebody.
Sure.
Not even somebody else, right? Because, like, you could have influences. But it shouldn't be, like, because you're trying to fit into something else. Like, I think that's really.
And I agree with that.
Like, beyond unwise. Like, it's a sad way to live. Like, be who you want to be. If you want to be, like Justin Bieber's number one fan, like that's, you go, like do it, like that. Justin Bieber's great, and frankly, since he actually started sounding like a dude and not like a chick, like he's actually made some great music, so big fan. But yeah, like definitely like I also don't like believe in just hating and stuff for no reason. Like I think there's like a lot of that where it's like, oh, like I just want
to, like people think it's cool to like hate everything,
right? Right. Or like to be too cool for stuff. Like that's definitely been wearing off. I feel like that's something that wears off as you become an adult or whatever. Not that I'm an adult, but like, it's just like, who cares? Like, there's no reason. Like you can like Swig, like the Diet Coke one's a great example. Like, I feel like there's so many people who are like, Diet Coke, like, I'm never going to be that. Or like, what's a Swig? Like, it's just such a Utah thing. It's like, okay, like who cares? Like just let people be people.
Let people enjoy what they enjoy.
Hashtag let people be people.
For sure.
So how do you spell your name?
I spell it Lesya.
So speaking of letting people be people, I thought you were supposed to be basic. Where's the Lisa? I thought being basic's okay, but now it's not okay. Now you got to spell your name.
Well, when your parents immigrate from across the world, it's really hard to be basic. So.
There it is. So, but Lisa isn't. That's what we're taking away. That's why I called you Lesya at the beginning of the podcast.
That's because that's how my name is spelled, and my actual name is Lesya, but no one can say Lesya, which is why I go by Lisa.
Oh, say that again. Lesya.
Lesya.
So it's like, is there like a space there?
No. Lesya.
So, but like the E and the Y make their own sounds. So it's like, it's like Lesya. Lesya.
Lesya.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, yeah, and no one can say that. So I go by Lisa.
There's the Russian chocolate chip cookies, Rugaliki. It's cool. I learned it.
Really good.
Lesya.
Yes,
we did
Josh.
It. For Lesya Feinstein, I'm Josh Davis. It's been Turnaround Jay.